Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Reading again from Isaiah chapter 11. And there shall come forth a rod of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. What a Savior! What a description! Like the song said, what a friend we have in Jesus. We need to take everything to him in prayer, and let's do that at the present time, giving thanks that God has given his Son that is here described, and can be to us not only the Savior who died for us and shed his blood, but also the one who can be made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, as Paul wrote it to the church at Corinth. Let's pray in the name of Christ, as he promised the Father would hear us, and our first request should be that he will teach us to pray, and especially to pray in unity for all the things that God has given in warning to repent and promise to believe. Let's pray in his name. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come, first of all, giving thanks in his name that thou, Father, did in thy love give him, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Help us to see the reality of perishing. Help us to tremble before it, knowing that we must escape it. And how shall we escape without knowing such great salvation? And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We fear, Father, that today it is being neglected, not only in the churches that are there, but so many churches seemingly closing, both in our country and England and Europe, where the gospel has been made known much more in the past. We pray that thou would bring us back, that thou would bring us again to that first love, what is left of the church, and then it might be praying for others, that there will be not only reviving and awakening in the church, but the church will again be added to. Sadly, it is today lessening in both those other countries and our own, and we pray, Father, that that may be reversed. We pray that there might be the building again by thee, Lord Jesus, of the church in our time, in our midst. We know it may be taking place in some countries where there is much persecution, and we do pray for them and for the church there to prosper in Iran, China, North Korea, and other countries where there is sore persecution, but where there seems to be a church that is living. And we read in thy word that those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Possibly where there's a persecution, they are living godly. And we are not suffering persecution, even though some complain of what the government does, but it is very little in the way of persecution. We are free even now to preach the gospel, not only to one another, but preach it over the air and to preach it worldwide. And we give thanks for it. And we pray that we might be able to do so in the right way, that we might preach not only thy word, but to preach it in power and to preach it in love. Thou hast said, if we preach without love, we are but sounding brass. And we pray that we might see that we need all of thy grace in every way, truth and power and love. We pray, Father, thou would lead us back to that in the church, that we might again have sound doctrine, that we will not be given over to corrupt ways and fable ways, half-truths, that is coming into the church, and especially the lie of evolution that has taken so much of the church, and we know that that is not to thy glory. And thou hast said, if we do not give thee glory, that our foolish hearts are darkened. We are then in the way of foolishness, and we confess, Father, that we are there, and we pray that thou bring us back to thyself as creator and lawgiver and redeemer, all through Christ. We also give thanks for the temporal blessings that we have, and especially those that we have that others do not have. We pray for Ukraine, those that are suffering, as we already mentioned, in some countries, the righteous suffering. We also pray for those in hunger. We pray for those that are homeless. We pray for the many other calamities that are there throughout the world. And again, to give thanks for what we have, we pray that it may not put us at ease in Zion, but that we may have that which will stir us up and tell us if we have lost our first love, that we are to repent or the candlestick will be removed. We pray that we may not be left in such a state that the candlestick is entirely removed. We have grieved thy spirit. We have well nigh quenched thy spirit. And again, we pray that he might be given because of Christ, in whose name we give thanks for the home, for the church, for the nations, all through him and him alone. Amen. As we continue looking at Isaiah's prophecy of Christ, we did look at this portion before, but I want to look at it some more. where we read, "And there shall come forth a rod of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." A very humble beginning. Sometimes we read that he will come in the lineage of David. We read that he will come in the lineage of Abraham. Here we read a stem from Jesse. Jesse, a farmer. Jesse having some sheep that his son David took care of. That was the person here. He became the father of David. But here, the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. Then the description of what he is like. And we saw some of that last week, not only here, but also Jeremiah chapter 23 spoke of Christ as the branch, and the prophet Zechariah described him as my servant, the branch. In our closing part last week, we saw that we also, if we are Christ, we are described as a branch and the branches. That's what I want to continue in now, looking a little bit more at the Gospel of John in John chapter 15, where Christ describes, "I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman," and then describing what the Father does with the branches. He says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." I can be thankful I'm here today. There's times when I didn't bring forth fruit, times that I had to be reproved. Like Christ said to the church at Ephesus that I just mentioned, "You've left your first love." That can take place, and it does take place, how we need to be brought back. And that's why today we need revival, that we will have more of the right love. Like one of the songs says, "Where's the blessedness I knew when first I sought the Lord?" I can remember when I was first saved, I wanted to tell my neighbors, made a special trip down there to tell them. And now I haven't told some of my neighbors what they should hear. I pray for them occasionally. But when I was first converted, almost all my neighbors went to church, and now over half of them don't. They need to hear the gospel. They need every one of us to tell them, if we have neighbors that are not believers and do not even attend a church, that is increasing, sadly, more and more in our country. The neighborhood here next to our church, as both sides do not attend a church. And I've talked to some of them, but they do not show an interest. And what a sad thing it is. I can remember talking to one time, some time ago, and he said he didn't want to go to church with the hypocrites. And I said to him, I says, "You either go to church with them or go to hell with them." And he says, "I didn't never think about that." But that is true. If we don't want to go to church where there are some hypocrites, we will go to hell without going to church, without hearing the word. "He that believeth not shall be damned." And we must hear the gospel to believe, and we must believe to be saved. Yes, to be saved. It's a very, very important part. We had to be born to be living. We need to be saved to live spiritually. We have to be born again. We have to repent of our sin, be humbled, and we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Us and everyone in our home. They won't be saved just because a parent believes. Every child must believe with the parent if they are to go to heaven with them. That is very much shown in Scripture. And without that, we need to know, like John the Baptist said to those before him, "Say not, we have Abraham to our father. God is able of these stones to raise up Abraham to be children of Abraham." And we didn't see that. And there is much what is called Judaism. They took for granted they were children of Abraham and God's children because of it. And there's a following of that today. We call it covenant theology. But it is a wrong covenant and a wrong understanding. The covenant has to be reproved as much today as John the Baptist did. And that's why we must come, as Christ said here, that we must be engrafted into him. Not only will the branch be purged by the Father. Father, in the 15th chapter of John, we read, verse 4, abide in me. This is Christ speaking, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. Very plain. He's using the example here. We might almost say it's like a parable. If there's a branch cut off from the tree, even has leaves on it, it doesn't take long. The leaves wither. It must abide in the rest of the tree. Or here it says, abide in me, the vine. He says, if the branch can't bear fruit, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Our beginning must be in Christ. Let me say it again. Our beginning must be in Christ. Our beginning of justification, to be made just before God, to have sins forgiven, must be in Christ. Yes, the Father is the one that forgives, but it is because of Christ, of his death, of his shed blood. Oh, we must know that. We must know that. Do you know it? Christ had to die for your sin, that he had to shed his blood for your sin. If you'd been the only one alive, that would have been necessary. What a price he had to pay on the cross for my sin and your sin. And he says, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. But here he's talking more, not about justification, but about sanctification. And he has said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. So he's talking about here sanctification. He's talking not about being forgiven, but bringing forth fruit. That is what takes place in salvation and what takes place out of salvation. As Paul said to the church at Philippi, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Not work for salvation, but work out your salvation. God has to work it in us first. And that's what Christ is talking about here and says, as the branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. There's none other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. There's none other name under heaven whereby we can have what we read there from Isaiah chapter 11. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Twice we read the word understanding. We read it once in the second verse, wisdom and understanding. We read it again in the third verse, and shall make him of quick understanding. Without that, there's no understanding. Without having it from Christ. He is the one that has the spirit of understanding. He is the one that is quick of understanding. And he is the one that must be to us a prophet to make us understand. Without that, as the psalmist said in Psalm 14, Psalm 53, Paul in Romans 3, there's none that understandeth. My first 28 years, I did not understand. I knew enough to rebel. I knew enough to speak foolish things, to think foolish things, but I didn't really understand. I didn't understand the depth of sin. I didn't understand the height of the need of the love of God in Christ. I came short of the glory of God. I came short of knowing the way of salvation, came short of repentance. First of all, short of obedience, and then short of repentance because I didn't obey, and short of faith. All of that short of the glory of God. That's what we need to see. We're helpless both in being forgiven only because of Christ, but here bringing forth fruit. Christ said, not only as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, neither can you if you are not in me, the vine. He says, but if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. And once again, I think what I said a little while ago. God says, every branch that bringeth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. If there's no fruit, it's a sign it's dead, a dead branch. It's not engrafted into the vine, not part of God's children, and he taketh away. Toward the end we read, they are withered, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I'm sure there's people that were born the same day as I was that are cast into the fire and are burning in an eternal hell. Yes, there is an eternal hell as well as an eternal life and blessing. And we need to see that. And we need to see that here we are called the branch. Christ is called the branch by Isaiah in that 11th chapter, by Jeremiah, by Zechariah. And though he's not called a branch later by Isaiah in Isaiah 53, but the same meaning is there in Isaiah 53, verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Much the same thing, a tender plant. Not a branch, but a tender plant of the living of a tree, of a vine, and a root out of a dry ground. And then the sad statement on the rest of that second verse, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Here he is, the branch. He is the tender plant. He is the root out of dry ground. He is that which you and I need. We need it from him. We need to be engrafted in him. He needs to abide in us, and we need to abide in him. Without that, we cannot bring forth fruit. And then when we don't see that beauty in him, as we read here, where there is no beauty that we should desire him. That's Isaiah's picture of all of us. We often think of Isaiah 53 as the gospel message of Isaiah. And it certainly is. When we read further in that same chapter, he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. When we read all of that from Isaiah, and what we already read in the earlier part, the 7th chapter, we read his names, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He was born and given those names, and all of that is true. And we should see that. We should see the beauty in it, the beauty that is not only there objectively, but the beauty is there that he can be made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, as Paul describes it in his writing to the church at Corinth, Corinthians chapter 1. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then to see it applied, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Is it any wonder that we ought to tremble at the word when we think of it and say, has that happened to me? Have I seen the difference of ignorance? Have I seen the difference of no understanding? And then Christ is made to me one of understanding, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. If we don't have that, we remain in blindness and ignorance. We remain dead in sin. So we need what we have from Christ. And the warning here in John chapter 15, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. What a difference. In Christ, much fruit. Without Christ, nothing, nothing, nothing. If you add zero to zero, it's zero. You can add all you want, but he says, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing to the glory of God. Nothing for our own benefit. we remain, as Paul said to Timothy, we remain opposers of ourselves as well as opposers to God, and come short of loving our neighbor as ourselves. But here's the answer. He who is the branch can make us branches in him. He is the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same thing hath much fruit. Without me you can do nothing. And it is to the glory of God. Verse 8 of the same chapter, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. How we ought to hang our head in shame. We're not bringing forth fruit. Our homes prove it. All the talk about mental health of the children, the young people, the sheriff department has to deal with it. The schools have to deal with it. All because the church is not as salt as it should be toward the home, toward the school, toward the nation. And we are slowly going into that worse and worse. Homes being destroyed. Children, not only mental health problems, but many have taken their own life, and it's there. And we need to see these things. Sometimes we don't like to keep repeating the same thing, but we must come back to God our Creator, God our Lawgiver, and only then will we come back to God our Redeemer. And as we saw earlier from Isaiah, the Lord of hosts, who is the Redeemer, the one who has already paid the price, and now he must make the application so we will be brought back as well as we have been by his death and shed blood bought back. He paid the price, and now it must be applied. It only is applied if we abide in Christ and he abide in us. And we need to think of it, and I think I mentioned it last week, and I think of it again, that John says, not that we loved him, but he loved us, and he gave his life for us. That is the heart of the matter, the gospel. We must believe it and be saved by it and make it known for the answer, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, as Paul says it and recorded in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We see that he is the vine, and we must be the branches. And also, I wanted to go further, but our time won't permit, that we must see that both Jew and Gentile are the branches together, and that remains together. And we must see that, and that's another subject, but that is there to pray about. And we must first of all ask, am I in Christ? Am I in Christ? That's the problem. That's the answer. The song that was sung, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms shall take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.